Well, good morning. We're excited to worship the Lord with you this morning. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And if you're here, praise God, you've got breath in your lungs. So let's give him all we have this morning. Amen.
Let everything.
Praise on the mountain. Praise when I'm sure. Praise when I'm doubting. Praise when I'm numbered. Praise when surrounded. Cause praise is the water my enemies drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I praise when I feel it, and praise when I go. Praise cause I know you're still in control. Praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. Praise is a shout, brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
redemption that we've waited for. You buried the night and came with the morning. You're the King of heaven. The praise is yours.
Joy from you. It's time to capture those. The word says, Winter has gone and spring has come. The time of the Lord to be encouraged. The time of the Lord to grow. The garden that he's planted, read it in Song of Solomon. He desires to come in and churn up inside of you. He desires to come in and do a harvest in you. For the winter is gone. That old darkness and gloominess has passed. And the springtime is here. And his love, it says, is like the spring that comes in and waters the garden inside of you so you can be more like him. Amen. It's time to let him do the work. It may be a little bit hard. It may be a little bit tough. But he's going to get you through it. He's going to bring a harvest in your life.
Soil of my soul, and like a garden, and like a garden, I will grow. I will grow. I will grow. Your goodness and mercy.
Shelter. I was an orphan. Now you All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to have you this morning. How many are glad to be able to be in the house of the Lord today? Anybody? Oh, yeah, I hope so. I'm glad you're here. Even if you're not glad to be here, I'm glad you're here, though. Amen. All right, let's take up tithe and offering. If you have some giving today, there are offering envelopes and chairs in front of you. If not, wave your hand around, and one of the ushers will help you out. Also, they have prayer cards. Mike's got some prayer cards right there. So if you have a prayer need, we'd love to join in faith with you and pray for you and the things that you're facing in life. Go ahead and ask for one of those. Fill it out. Give it back to one of the ushers or me. And I will be praying over them, but also each week at Monday Night Prayer, they pray over the prayer cards that come in. So please go ahead and fill that out if you have a prayer need. But as you're prepping your giving, let me pray over your giving. And if you have something this morning, you can bring it down and put it in these baskets up here on the platform. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to come into your house and worship you and be together. Lord, it's a wonderful thing that the saints gather together in unity and worship and praise and gather around your word. And Lord, you are glorified in all that we do. And I pray as we give today, Lord, it's an honoring to you because you are our provider. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are always going in front of us, not only in the forgiveness of our sins and the abundance of life that you bring us, Lord, but you're looking out for every area of our life. Lord, as increase comes in finances, Lord, we respond to that in honoring you in our giving this morning. Lord, we thank you for all the things that you do for us. So many stories and testimonies we have of your goodness. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So if you have something, you can bring it this morning. Samara's got a couple of announcements for you, so she's going to come on up.
Good morning. We're excited to have you here with us today. If this is your first time or if you've never filled one of these out, we would love for you to just fill up these get to know you cards. We're not going to call you all the time, but Pastor Kylan does pray over each person. And then we have one of these two in the seat in front of you. And this is just some information about our church and how we got started and what we believe. So if you're interested to check those out, they're right there. And then next Sunday is Mother's Day. So write that down. Gentlemen and children, take note that next Sunday is Mother's Day. And starting at 9 a.m., we are going to have muffins with mom. So you can come anytime from 9 a.m. until when church starts and come and enjoy a muffin with your kiddos. And then you guys don't have to make breakfast. So I feel like that's a win-win, and we hope to see you there.
All right. From what I understand, everybody loves muffins, right? So next week, muffins with mom. And guys, it's not only an announcement about muffins with mom next week. This is your reminder, gentlemen, that next week is Mother's Day. So don't say I didn't tell you. All right. So do your part, right? By the way, I just got a little note here. I'm going to throw this out. Brandon Blair, I heard it's his birthday today. So happy birthday, Brandon. And so, man, you showed up to church on your birthday. That's a double blessing. So, anyways, happy birthday, Brandon. Anybody else have a birthday this week? Anybody?
Harper.
Oh, Harper did. Yeah, she's in kids' church. Or is she up here? Okay, 1 year old, right? Wow, that's amazing. Well, good. So, Brandon and Harper, happy birthday. All right. So I have some other announcements real quick. We have a handful. Today, right at the end of service, we have water baptism. So a couple things about that. If you are being water baptized today, right when church is over, please come right down here. I just want to have a word with you. Then we'll give you a couple moments to get changed and whatever you need to do. Then at the church, I hope you stay. We're going to go out and celebrate these water baptisms, this outward expression of what God has done on the inside. But I don't believe it's all completely symbolic. I believe it's a sacred moment. And for us as a church to see those who are being baptized, this public confession, and then it's like they're saying, hey, I'm doing this, I'm in this faith, now you need to help me. Now we look out for the family of faith, amen? So water baptism right after church today, so make sure you stay around for that. Where is Sarah Brown? We have a kids' church announcement real quick, and by the way, she's coming up. If you didn't get one of these, you have a kid in Kids Church. They put out a monthly newsletter every month. So the May newsletter is down there. It talks about what the curriculum is, what they're talking about. Our Kids Church is not a babysitting service. We're partnering with you to build them up in the faith, right? So it tells you what they're learning down there, tells you the praise and worship songs of the month, and it's reminders, and it tells you the memory verse. There's a weekly memory verse for the kids. So we hope at home you're going over this memory verse with them and helping them with that. So good things are happening in Kids Church, but we're kind of expanding Kids Church. So Sarah's going to tell you a little bit about that.
Yeah, so good morning. I am so excited to announce, so far we've only had like our walkers up through fourth grade for Sunday school downstairs, but we are growing, which is such a blessing, and thanks to our dream teams, we are able to have a nursery now.
Ooh,
so,
yes.
Yeah.
And how many know we got like a zillion little kids running around this church, so having a nursery is a good thing, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, of course, they're always welcome up here, but they're welcome downstairs. A little bit different check-in, so you'll go right to the nursery room just so we can know if there's any extra instructions or things like that. So they'll just check them in there and be patient with us as it's new and we're working out all the kinks and things like that. So, but we're excited to see your littles down there.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you, Sarah. By the way, Kids Church is one of those things where it's not that we're necessarily desperate need of volunteers, but we always need volunteers. So if your heart's drawn towards little kids and you're not a part of Kids Church, let me know and we'll get you hooked in. Also, with that, we're already planning for our summer VBS, which is last Sunday, Monday, Tuesday of June. Back at the back there, there's a sign-up sheet if you want to help out with that, some specific things you can get involved in. But there's also a board back there with yellow Post-it notes.
with things that we need for the VBS. So if you pull one of those post-it notes off, it just has an item or two on there that you would purchase and donate to us for the VBS, and there's a certain deadline for that. But if you have questions about that, see Amanda. Amanda, wave your hand around. One time I called her Amber, but she's not Amber. That's Amanda, all right? So that's Amanda right there. She'll help you out. And then tonight at 6 o'clock, we have youth hangouts. So that's 5th to 12th grade right here at 6. I think Chamberlain's got the word. Eric, Justice, and the team will be here. Jude will be here. So they got worship, a word. They got some food. So 5th to 12th grade, 6 o'clock tonight, probably 6 to 7:30 or so. So you can drop your kids off and come back and get them later. They're going to have a great time. And one more last announcement. This is sort of something a little different. Come on down here, Justin. Justin approached me a little bit about something he thought may help some people out. So the first Sunday of June, right after church, he's going to have a little time, kind of a class, kind of a small group called Interviewing 101. So I want you to just briefly tell them what that's about.
Sure. So good morning. So where I work, I'm a high up hiring manager. So I've seen over the years a lot of people come in, you know, looking for new opportunities with a job or internal promotions, and people just blow the interview so bad. So I've seen some really painful moments in those interviews. So what I want to do is kind of go through, you know, several things in the whole interview process, the do's and the don'ts of an interview, how to prepare for an interview, what you're doing, during the interview, after the interview. You know, I'll teach some basic communication skills as well. So we'll kind of go through that, what that whole thing looks like, just to show you, you know, how to sell yourself to an employer. So if you're looking for new opportunities, to, you know, looking for a new job, looking for an internal promotion, I want to go through those things that will really help you impress the people that you're interviewing with.
Amen. All right. Well, good. Thank you, Justin. I think it's really good. So there is a sign-up sheet at the back for that. That way we're going to provide some lunch. Depending on who signs up, we'll provide some child care for that. So go ahead and sign up in the back for that. And if they throw me out of here, Justin, I'll be coming to that meeting. All right? So I'm kidding. Get your Bibles out. If you have one, I hope we brought a Bible today. If not, we will put the verses on the screen. I have a handful of verses we're going to jump in today so you can crack your knuckles and get ready. All right. We are third weekend in a series talking about the kingdom of God. And it is the subject that Jesus really talked the most about. If you're into the Gospels, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus would say, whatever specific gospel you're reading, those terms are interchangeable. But I'm going to give you a basic definition of the kingdom of God. One way we can see that, and that is this. The kingdom of God, so when you're reading in your Bibles, and Jesus, often when he said a parable, would start with, the kingdom of God is like, or the kingdom of heaven is like. It's kind of like saying this, how God is rescuing and reclaiming this world is like this. How many know Jesus is interested in you? Amen. And he's interested in rescuing and reclaiming his lost creation. He made a creation at the end of it. He said, it's very good. Then we did what we did, right? And we messed it up. But God, because he is who he is and he loves us so much, he was interested in rescuing and reclaiming his lost creation. And that's in essence what the kingdom of God is like. A kingdom not of this world, coming and having a place in this world, but how it happens is so important because it doesn't work like the rest of the world works. Jesus comes and inaugurates the kingdom with his teaching and the things that he did and the miracles that were performed, the healings and the signs and wonders were signposts of this kingdom that were pointing us towards a kingdom that will, all things will be made new someday when he returns. And of course, the linchpin of the kingdom of God is the death of Jesus, then his resurrection. And the moment resurrection came and Jesus walked out of that tomb, new creation was on this earth. Again, very symbolic of the work of the kingdom of God. So when you're reading the Gospels and you see the term, and the kingdom of God is like, you can say, put it there, the God rescuing his creation is like, or God saving his creation is like. So we've been talking about this, and today, Matthew chapter 13, if you have your Bible, and verse 24. So as you're turning, remember, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's not just established when Jesus comes back. When he returns, it will come in its finality, but the kingdom of God is already working in this world. It's at hand. The kingdom of God is in your midst, where it's within you. The saving work of God. The kingdom of God, in some of the parables, it grows like a plant, or it's like yeast being worked through the dough. That's how the kingdom of God works. But Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24 is a parable that Jesus taught, kind of after the parable of the sower, and he said some things about parables in between. And he says this in verse 24. And he put a parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, or God saving this creation, or God rescuing this creation, may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the weeds and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds also appeared. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest the gathering of the weeds, you uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but then gather the wheat into the barn. Now Jesus actually gives an explanation of that parable. And if you jump down to verse 36, stay in chapter 13 of Matthew, come down to verse 36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and the disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. And he answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, that's Jesus. In other words, the inauguration of the kingdom of God, the gospel going forth, the good news into the world. And the field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom, or those who receive the word that is sown. And the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who has sown them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Look at this. He who has ears, let him hear. How many of y'all got ears on your head? Yeah, let you hear what Jesus is saying here. Even if you're like me and you wear hearing aids, let you hear what Jesus is saying here. So Jesus comes, inaugurates the kingdom, the gospel is going forth, these seeds are being sown, and there is, according to the parable, wheat being grown. Those who have received the word. But yet while there was some sleeping going on, the master of the field is sleeping, in other words, we're waiting for Jesus to come back, that's what's symbolic of, the enemy has come, the devil, and he is also working the field. And he's sowing as much as God is sowing. And there are those that, as the devil, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the devil works to blind the minds and eyes of unbelievers. Amen. That's what he's doing. And there are two different things then that are growing in this world. Simply those who have received the word and believe, and those who have not. So, I think I got Christian back there. Will you throw that first slide up for me? The growth of the kingdom of God brings a distinction. And you can't get away from this. The growth of the kingdom of God brings a distinction. There will be those who hear the word, hear the gospel, and receive it with good soil, and therefore the kingdom starts to grow, represented of the wheat in the parable. And there are those who may have heard the gospel and rejected it. They grow as weeds. Or they simply have not heard. And they're also growing as weeds. Therefore, there's two kinds of things growing in our world. The wheat, those who received the word, the saved, the citizens of the kingdom. But there's also growth of those who are not saved, who have not repented of their sins, who have not given their life to Jesus, blinded by the enemy. So in the world, because the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is active, God is working to rescue and reclaim his lost creation, there is a distinction. And by the way, it's noticeable, it's actually noticeable because those who are of good soil, who received the word, should be growing into his disciples in a way that there is actually a distinction. See, when you give your life to Jesus, you ask for the forgiveness of your sins, at that moment, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are now a citizen of the kingdom of God, and that citizenship supersedes even being a citizen of this wonderful country.
That's right.
It's your first priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen? But as a citizen of the kingdom of God, now there is a way to live as a citizen of this kingdom. And it will be different than the ways of a lost world. Therefore, a distinction will start to show up in your life. Because you have been called out into what we say abundant life, but abundant life is living free from sin. Now there is a different way to live. So there's a distinction between the saved and the unsaved simply because God is at work in this world. Christianity is not simply a title that you have. Christianity should be a life that you live. You can call yourself a Christian all day long, but if the kingdom's not growing within you, you just call yourself a Christian. But because you begin to learn what it means to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God, there will be change and there will be transformation. There will be new things. And therefore now come out and be separate, and that's how that happens. Now, when I talk about a distinction and a separation, there's a couple things I want to address in that, lest we get the wrong idea about this. So Matthew chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, turn there. Matthew chapter 10, in verse number 34. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Now Jesus talking here, and listen to what he has to say. Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. So whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross, and it's kind of leading right here. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. For whoever will have his life and find his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's a very interesting passage, because as Isaiah prophesied, that one of the titles of Jesus when he comes is he's the Prince of what? Peace. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And in the Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called sons of God. Okay. So if you want to be like Jesus, son of God, you have to learn to be a peacemaker. But yet Jesus is here saying, but I didn't come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. What's he talking about? Now, I'll be honest with you. I've heard a whole lot of things brought out of that passage of Scripture. I've heard people even go as far to say, well, this means that Christians can be violent whenever they want. That's not what it's saying. I've even heard it go far to say, this is scriptural proof that you can own guns, swords. Now, I'm a gun owner. I have no problem with it, but that's not what that's talking about. What Jesus is saying right here is when the kingdom comes, and when the kingdom grows, there will be a distinction. There will be wheat and there will be weeds. And at times, because of the nature of that, it's like a sword is brought. See, in the early church, in the Roman world, when you professed your faith in Jesus and end up saying things like, Jesus is Lord and Caesar is not, and you understood that even your vocation, how you made money, was tied into the cult of sacrifice to the gods and even later on to the emperors. By professing faith in Jesus, you could lose your way of earning money. You could lose family members. The whole deal could happen. It could bring a sword of relationships in your life. That's what's going on here. You may profess Jesus and lose a good friend. You may profess faith in the saving power of Jesus Christ and lose a family member and relationship because of it. That's what Jesus is getting at. It will bring that kind of distinction in the world. Weeds and wheat. And eventually, although when they start out, they may look the same, eventually they look entirely different, and you know the difference. And they are not gathered to the same place for the same purpose. The gospel, because it brings a distinction, literally brings a sword. Because by picking up your cross, what you're saying is, I'm willing to give up everything and say Jesus is the greatest thing in my life, above even my mother and my father, even above my spouse, even above my in-laws. And that may not be hard for some of you, but whatever. Above your own kids, right? But see, what happens is, when those distinctions are made, but then Jesus teaches you how to be in relationship with those people. He'll show you how to be a better husband and how to be a better son or daughter and how to be a better parent and how to deal with relatives. Even when they don't agree and shun you because of your faith, he'll teach you how to deal with that too. But that's what the sword is about. Because when the kingdom of God is at work, it absolutely brings a distinction. Here's another thing to look at in accordance with that. Let's go to the book of John. In chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 18. John chapter 15 and verse 18. Again, Jesus talking here, red letter stuff. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Now, again, a separation, a distinction, because the kingdom of God is at work, may actually cause the world to hate you and the world to persecute you. As a matter of fact, John writes in 1 John, don't be surprised that the world hates you. Because where there is a distinction, well, guess what? You start to see things in a different way. You start to respond to things in a different way. You start to have different perspectives. You don't do the same things that you used to. You start to believe different things. You approach things in different ways. There will be a distinction. And when the world is saying, you're different than me, a lot of times that comes with persecution and will come with actual hate. As a matter of fact, Matthew chapter 5, let's go there. Sermon on the Mount. At the end of the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, or theirs is the citizenship of heaven, or theirs is how God is saving the world. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil falsely against you on my account. As a matter of fact, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. They even persecuted the prophets who were before you. See, we were talking last week, the kingdom of God is a celebration. The very first miracle of Jesus was at the wedding of Cana. He extended a celebration symbolic of God being reunited with man in relationship. The kingdom is a celebration, but you might end up being persecuted for it. Now, I understand there are things that go on in our nation, but we don't really fully understand and appreciate what persecution is. Go to China, where they have to meet underground. Can you imagine church attendance in America if you had to meet in secret? But if you were caught, you were arrested, possibly jailed, maybe even worse. Can you imagine? My goodness. See, the early church, when it came to actual martyrdom, the early church taught that martyrdom was an opportunity and a gift, because to be a martyr means a witness. That you would go that far to witness your faith, to give up your life for it. A distinction may bring some hatred and some persecution. But by the way, Jesus tells us how to deal with that. He says, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Oh, that's a big statement. In other words, when the world hates you, you're not allowed to hate them back. When they persecute you, you can't do things back. He's teaching you that that distinction also means something. Because if the kingdom of God goes forth through the world in a way entirely different than our world works, then when the world presses back against it, you still have to respond as a citizen of the kingdom of God. Love those who hate you. Love those that you consider your enemy. And I would go far as to say this. It's not your job to go make enemies of people. Amen. It's your job to love the world. And if they persecute you or hate you because of the gospel, so be it. But they shouldn't persecute you and hate you because of how you act towards them, if that makes sense. You're supposed to love them and pray for them. Amen. But that distinction brings some ramification at times. But that distinction leads to this. Christian, if you'll throw up that second slide, please. That there will be a harvest. And then there will be an ultimate separation. And look, you can't candy coat this part of the gospel. There will be an ultimate separation, and that separation will be final. Because there's a time when, at time that's designated, Jesus will come back. And the angels will come and gather the harvest. They will bundle up the weeds to be burned and gather up the wheat to this wonderful glory of the kingdom in its fullness and finality. The distinction of the kingdom of God growing will ultimately come to a final distinction. But again, here's the thing. You can't make that come faster. We were talking about this last week or the week before. You can't go out in the yard and yell at God and try to make him come back sooner than the plan is for him to come. Here's what I know. I know that there are people that wish God would just show up and just crush and smash all the guilty that need judged, and they just can't wait for it. That the sinners get theirs. You know what I'm talking about? Well, thank goodness he didn't come and do that before you were saved. That's nice to say when you're on the other side and you believe what you believe. Well, why is there a tearing? Why is there a waiting and the weeds are growing just as much as the wheat? Why? It is in the wisdom of God. But there will be a point when he does return. And there will be a point where there is judgment. Because God will make all things new, but he will do it in a righteous, just way. Amen. In his wisdom, in his holiness. And see, the thing about the kingdom of God is that the reason we proclaim it is because that's a big deal. That is why the church, I know I say this a lot, but I need this to get it in your heart. That is why the church is not, okay, look, you're a Christian, yep, you say, yep, you're forgiven, yep, okay, let's gather together in our nice huddle. Let's shut the door and lock it and just stay away from the bad people as much as we can. That's not the gospel at all. The gospel is to be growing in you in such a way, in other words, the work of God in your life, the freedom from sin, abundant life, that you can then go into a sinful world and share him. Not, well, I'm glad I'm saved, let's huddle up and just try to make it till he gets back. That's not the attitude of the church. You see, be careful when you think about a distinction of the wheat and the weeds, that in your mind it turns into an us versus them. Good guys versus bad guys. How many ever watched some old westerns? Clint Eastwood westerns? Okay. When I was a kid, they were on TV Saturday afternoons, one of the main ABC whatever channels. We only had four channels and that dial, and it went to snow. You know, how many know what I'm talking about? You could find on Saturday afternoon a Clint Eastwood cowboy movie. I'll never forget my one of my favorites. I don't know the name, but I just know the scene. He comes riding into town on a donkey. And it's a little thing. But he's Clint Eastwood, you know, but he's got his, what do you call that? It's not a shawl, but like a
poncho.
Poncho, yeah. He wasn't wearing a shawl, it's a poncho. And there's a bunch of guys standing and sitting by a fence by a corral. They have some words, and they start shooting off their guns, and the donkey just burns down the road, and he jumps off and catches a sign, and the donkey keeps running. He's just swinging there. Now, all of a sudden, in your mind, you know, at that moment, Clint Eastwood is who? The good guy? And everybody standing by the fence is the bad guys. Now, I think everybody in the room may not have seen it, but you know what happens. What does Clint Eastwood do? He goes back and does what? Shoots them all. It doesn't blip your radar that he just killed seven people because they're the bad guys. I mean, I'm talking about. When you create an us versus them, the good guys and the bad guys, you don't care what happens to the bad guys. As a matter of fact, you want them to get theirs. You don't look at the lost of the world, you're the bad guys, and I hope you get yours. And when you get yours, I'll be happy about it. That's not the gospel. That's Because at one time you were a weed. But you understand, you see how sinful they are? Yeah, I know. The enemy has blinded their minds and their eyes. They're lost. The lost act like this lost. You can't entirely judge them by your understanding of abundant life. They're lost. They're not bad guys that you hope they get what they deserve because they're the bad guys. See, when you know, you believe that Jesus is coming back and there's going to be a final separation, what does that say to your heart? Does it build an urgency within you to share the gospel because this is a big deal? It's final, it's done. There's no turning back from it. That we take our faith to a lost and dying world because the hope that some of those weeds will, in the power and the saving work of Jesus and the forgiveness of their sins and their repentance, they cease to be a weed any longer, but now they start to grow in the kingdom and that wheat starts to germinate and the seed breaks and a plant comes up. That's what we want. That's what we're after. Listen, you're not Clint Eastwood. Stop. You're called to be an ambassador of the gospel in the world. See, this reality of an eternity in heaven and the weeping and gnashing of teeth of hell, this reality of it, should spur you to share the gospel. And to move you into a life of seeing those who are lost with compassion. As Jesus said, look, I didn't come to save the righteous, but I've come for the sinner. I've come for those who are lost. I've come to chase down the one sheep that left the 99. I've come, as the parable says, even those who were hired later in the day, they still get the fullness of the wage. I've come for that. I've come as he tells parables about like wedding feasts and those that were originally invited don't come, but then those you wouldn't think would come would be there, like the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the sinners. They're coming into the kingdom even before the righteous are. That's who he's come for. But how do you see that yourself? I believe fully in the return of Jesus that he is going to come to finish the deal. The bread's baking in the oven. There's a time that the baker's going to come pull it out and say, it's done. But listen to me. He desires that none should perish. Let's look at this. One more verse and we'll close up. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. And we're going to read 1 through 13. This is a whole bunch of apocalyptic images going on here, but I want to grab hold of verse 9 when we get to it. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days. What do they do? Come with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? This is talking about the return of Jesus. For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. That's the story of Noah. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth now exist and are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and its works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are just to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for the hastening of the coming of the day of the Lord? Because the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to this promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which the righteousness dwells. Wow, those are amazing images about what it'll be like at the return of Jesus, and all things are made new, a new heaven and earth. But in the midst of it, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. Patience. Why? Not wishing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. That's our job, you know that? You're a wheat, I hope. You've been in distinction as somebody growing in the things of God, the kingdom of God. Great. But part of your job is knowing that there's something coming. And in the midst of that, God is patient. Why hasn't he come back? Why has he brought judgment? His patience. For as long as can be, hopefully, that none should perish, but will come to him in repentance. Therefore, we share the gospel. Share the gospel. Take the word of Jesus to our world, because of the reality of what is to come. Amen? That is how the kingdom of God is working. That's how the kingdom of God is rescuing. That is how the kingdom of God is saving our world. Which is why you have a part. Your part isn't just to grow in the kingdom. Your part is to do something with the kingdom. Amen. I hope it is an urgency sparked in your heart by these kind of words. When is Jesus coming? I don't know. Ever since I was a kid, I've heard a lot of guys standing where I'm standing say, I just know he's going to come back in my lifetime. Ever heard somebody say that? A lot of those guys are dead. Hate to say it. He didn't come back in their lifetime. I don't know. I don't know when he's going to come. I may live to be an old man. He could come back tomorrow. I don't know. But what I do know is he is coming back. And what he comes should birth urgency to share. Amen? Amen. How about we stand up on our feet? Now, we're closing up just a hair early because of baptisms coming up in just a few moments. But I would be remiss to share that this morning and not give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. That none should perish, for God so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son. That's the reason Jesus came. That whoever would believe in him, that's anybody, whoever would believe in him, should not perish, that none should perish. But the opposite of that is everlasting life. My goodness. That's the God who wants to save and rescue his creation. That he would come to a lost and sinful world. Sinful. Listen to me. When I was not saved, I was a good sinner. He saved me of a whole list of stuff. Big stuff. Stuff I'd be embarrassed to talk about. But he desired to reclaim and rescue me. and you. If you're here today, you say, man, I'm a good sinner. Okay. But buddy, God will set you free. He will forgive you. He will give you a brand new life. And this whole thing about the kingdom of God growing you, it's just such an amazing thing. And the moment I gave my life to Jesus, I've been growing ever since. I have not attained it yet, but man, I'm still growing. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that God is doing. Not perfect, not through it all, not ever dealing with any struggles, not facing issues in life. No. But now all of a sudden, that God who's bringing abundant life is with me to see me through all that. That's what he does. And if you're here today and you've never repented, in other words, forgive me of my sins, but that repentance also is now I got to start rethinking my life based on this revelation of Jesus. What does it mean to live following this guy that came to this world, God in flesh? What does it mean to follow him? You've never done that. I want to give you space to do that right now. If you all, I know it's sort of traditional, but if you all would just close your eyes. Now see, while your eyes are closed, I gave my life to Jesus because I knew I was a sinner, and I realized this whole business about him returning, there's this eternal separation. That's what got me saved. I was like, yep, I don't want that. But then when I got past that, I was like, oh my goodness, the Christian life is much more than just trying to evade hell. My goodness. So rich and so deep and wide. But for whatever reason, your heart is being tugged today. And you just know, you need to give your life to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on count of three. I'm not going to have you come down front. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to find you later. You raise your hand, and I'm going to tell you what to do, okay? If that's you today, on a count of three. One, two, three. Anybody? Okay, anybody else? I saw that one hand in the back. Anybody else? Okay. I don't like to drag these things out. So how about this? I saw one hand. I'm not sure if I saw any more. Here's what you do right at your seat. I'm not going to lead you through a prayer. What you do right at your seat is just say something like, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, set me free from my sins. Lord, I need you. I can't do this without you. And you just let them know those things. You can say, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came to this earth to die on the cross for me. Thank you. And if you just believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he's been raised from the dead, you shall be saved. And if you just say those simple things, the gift of God has come to your life. You've been forgiven. You've been marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Now you've been sent at the entrance of the narrow road in discipleship. But the kingdom of God is a celebration, and just by asking those things, you set off a heavenly celebration because a sinner has repented. Amen. And we thank you for that, Lord. And you see these hearts. You see what's happening with these people. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. For you are glorious and you're worthy to be praised. Oh, Lord, thank you. Let's give them a hand this morning. Let's pray. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so here's the plan. I got a plan. If you're going to be water baptized, come see me right now. Everybody else, hang on for about 10 or 15 minutes. We're going to go out and celebrate as a church family. But if you're not going to stay Wednesday night, Sunday, be blessed. Bring somebody with you. And those of you that I saw, raise your hand. I'm going to grab you at some point before you head out. But have a wonderful day. We will see you next time.